Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Aaron Boone's on the line. Aaron, Craig, and Evan, of course. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. You know, the big comedy show tonight. Evan's going to be on stage for a minute.
I'm
going to send you a video right afterwards so you can give me an immediate response to it, okay?
Absolutely.
The most important, I think, pressing question for the Yankees right now is, it's just a tough question to ask. You make some of these decisions that boggle my mind. Why not Kluby? Why Klub? You always add a Y or an IE to every nickname you got. But with Corey Kluber, you gave him the nickname Klub. Why not Kluby?
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think I call him Kluby. I think I call him Klub.
That's what I'm trying to figure out as to why. Why not Kluby? It makes more sense.
I don't know. He's Klub.
All right, that's all I got for you.
That's all I got.
That's it. Good luck tomorrow. No,
Where is Judgey? Can I call him Judgey?
No,
I can't do it. I apologize,
AJ.
AJ. You're right. Where is Aaron Judge's health in terms of you feeling comfortable playing him in the field tomorrow night in Boston?
Yeah, I'm hopeful I'll have him in the field tomorrow, but make that call. Obviously, first day off here in a long time, which is nice and I think much needed. But I would expect him to be in the field tomorrow. That said, we'll make that call when we get to the park and see what we're dealing with.
Was it some kind of lingering issue? Did he aggravate something a couple days ago that we were just unaware of that had you DH him twice in a row?
No, it's just been lingering here this last week a little bit on him. So, obviously we've been in a tough stretch, so just decided it was best, especially with this off day, to have him in the DH role the last 2 days.
Kleber Torres, I mean, the stats are obvious. Since you moved him to second base, I think he's hitting .350. He bounced back last night, didn't have the greatest at-bat with guys on base, then ends up getting the game-winning hit. Do you notice a difference in him? Maybe he's more relaxed since the move to second base?
I definitely feel like he's in a better place this last week. I think he started to get really comfortable at second base where, obviously he's played there a lot over the last, few years. But I felt like even after a couple of mishaps in the field initially when he went to second base, I feel like he's played it really well here this last week. Also coinciding with him swinging the bat well. But I felt, I think the biggest thing with swinging the bat is he's kind of done that all year. He just hasn't hit for the power. And he's had little valleys, but for the most part, he's been fairly consistent at the plate. It just hasn't been the power there. So I haven't worried about him really hitting. I feel like that's going to come, and I feel like he's so important, kind of hitting sort of in the middle of our lineup because he is such a good hitter, and hopefully he can continue to swing the bat like he is, because I feel like there's just going to be a lot of opportunities to drive in big runs for him.
And obviously a byproduct of this is Gio playing a lot of shortstop, DJ playing third base. How do you feel defensively about the left side of your infield with those changes?
Now that DJ's, arms, for that long stretch, I didn't play him at third base at all, and I was playing Odor over there for when DJ hurt his arm, about a month and a half ago. But over the last couple of weeks, feel like that's not an issue now. So I feel comfortable with him over at third. He's actually you know, over the couple years he's played with us, he's grayed out really well at third, you know, very similar to, you know, his play at second base. So I feel good about that. With Gio, look, wherever he goes, I feel good. He's made a couple mistakes over there, but I also feel like that's, you know, that can happen to him every now and then at third base. So, you know, we might not get the greatest range out there, but I do feel confident that he's going to be steady in handling the routine plays.
I saw something that I was, you know, fascinated with last night, and that was, you know, you take the lead, you know, after the bang bang play at the plate, okay, a little breathing room, and then Gary Sanchez hits that bomb to dead center. And it was great for him, obviously, that he hit it, because, you know, he's a guy that needs to have some big plays, just, I think, confidence-wise. But I noticed the dugout, and that spoke volumes to me on a number of levels. One, and please tell me if I'm wrong on this, the guys are aware of the beatdown that this kid has taken. You know, in the press, the fans, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they must love the kid.
I would say yes. I mean, first and foremost, it's a huge game for us, and we're playing for a lot.
But you'd already taken the lead, so it just gave you a bigger cushion for Aroldis coming in the ninth. But you know, the thing, just so that I'm fair, what I criticized you guys about back in April and May, your team with no soul, with no identity, is the exact opposite of what I saw last night.
Look, I feel like I've said this a lot to people. I don't know if they believe me or not or whatever, but Gary, I have so much respect for him as a person, and how, especially this year, how I just feel like he's just matured so much, and how he deals with outside noise and the constant criticism. You know, early in the year, you know, he lost a lot of playing time, and while he certainly wasn't happy about it, he you know what he did about it was worked. He came in, he made some necessary adjustments that he had to make at the plate. He continued to work his tail off, and has, you know, from last winter on through spring training and on through the year defensively. I feel like he's become a smart worker as far as knowing how to work. You know, it's one thing to just, you know, bang your head against the wall and work. But the reality is it's a demanding position of 162 games. I feel like he knows how to navigate his day now. And he's just a really great team guy. Like, he cares about his teammates. It's about winning for him. And I think that absolutely rubs off, comes through to the other guys. And I think across the board in that room, they have a lot of respect for the person.
I honestly thought the gun, that throw he made to second to Nail Garcia was even better. I mean, that was such a huge part of the game. And that was always such a positive attribute of Gary's career. Like, early in his career, he would throw out 35% of base runners. That was like old school Gary Sanchez, seeing him unleash a throw like that in such a big spot.
Yeah, it was huge. And look, and I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks where, you know, he's had a few plays, you know, that have been costly defensively, I think it was important for him to get in there and have a huge defensive play like that. And if you're, you know, I think the next couple of hitters, there was a couple of tough blocks with two strikes that were important back there. So really good to see him not only be prepared and ready for the situation, but to come in and impact the game on both sides of the ball was awesome.
Do you think he's unfairly treated by the media and fans, Gary?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And look, I mean, look, he's made mistakes and, you know, plays that, you know, at different times have cost us or whatever. So it's certainly fair to, you know, point out or talk about, you know, the good and bad that happens over the course of the season, offensively, defensively. I mean, that's part of covering a team. And when you're, you know, on the Yankees and there's a lot of interest, like, that's understandable. You know, I think when people talk about lazy or all, like, that could not be further from who the man is.
Why do you, because, like, in New York, it seems like when you come here as a free agent or you're traded here, you're going to be treated harder. But the homegrown guy kind of gets a little bit more love. Gary's a homegrown guy. Gary was unbelievable 5 years ago in 2016. Why do you think he's treated unfairly in your mind then?
Well, because I think he's had growing pains as, as a player, you know, and I think when you come up through the system and you have massive success right out of the gate, you know, you're kind of anointed as this next guy, and people think it's, you know, just going to happen and come easy. And I think when you're talking about the position of catcher, that is on such a different level than really any other position player, with just the things that you have to learn and grow into, and, you know, relationship wise with pitchers and things like that. Like, it's, I think, why you see a lot of catchers sometimes get to the big leagues a little bit later, because there's so many nuanced things that come with learning the position. Now you come up as this big prospect early in your career, you hit all these home runs, you have this massive success, but there's a lot to learn about the art of catching that, you know, you're learning on the biggest stage with the highest of expectations because of your talent and what you've done earlier in your career. So I think it's just part of the evolution of you know, having a very demanding position.
Talking to Aaron Boone, as we always do, day off today. They're on their way to Boston tonight. And, of course, then it's real. It's essentially playoff baseball. You get three against the Red Sox, you get Toronto after that, and then you end it back at the stadium against Tampa. You've used something like 130 different starting lineups, more than any other team in baseball this year. And I wonder, as you sit down with the rest of the coaching staff and the front office for this particular series against Boston, and I'll add Toronto to that as well, do you foresee any type of, hey, this is my lineup for these six games, or should we expect a different lineup every night?
I think it'll be fairly consistent with, you know, I think a lot of that lineup, different lineup, you know, a lot of times it's because one player's out of it or there's one spot. Like, I feel like the essence of our lineup, especially since guys have been healthy and the trade line, has kind of been there. You know, like the seven hole may be different one day, so that makes it a different lineup, you know. You know, depending on, look, who we're facing, right, left, you know, we'll mix and match probably a little bit here and there, but I expect it to be somewhat consistent, you know, depending on, do you have Luke Voit DHing one day and the jumbo package, for example, in the outfield with Judge in center field one day, do we do that? You know, or, you know, but I would expect Guardy to be in there a lot, and we'll just kind of, depending on who we're facing who's pitching for us, we'll line it up how we think.
It's funny. Yeah. I've referred to Brett Gardner as the coach's son. You know, the kid that plays every game because his dad's the coach. But he actually came through over the last month. He, you know, found a hot spot. And up before his 0-for-10 streak, the guy was your most consistent hitter. You've been around this for a long time. And when Brian made the decision to bring Gardner back again this year, no one ever thought he's going to be playing significant time, especially in key games like this. Are you amazed by him? Like, when you think of Brett Gardner, and you're going to put him in the lineup every night against the Red Sox and or Toronto, like, I just wonder your thoughts on him overall, considering his age, the amount of mileage on his body, and what he's been able to do here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, well, durability's always, you know, been one of his calling cards, and you know, he's obviously in great condition. You know, he's strong as an ox. You know, takes care of himself. He's tough. You know, so, you know, going back to when we brought him back, I wasn't worried about him, you know, from a durability standpoint being available. You know, it's just like, depending on, you know, what our outfield situation was, he going to be a true fourth outfielder? You know, inevitably people go down, you earn more opportunities and whatever. But I think, you know, I would quibble with you a little and say just the last few weeks or the last month and say it's pretty much been the second half. I mean, his at-bats have really ticked up here in the second half. I think he's probably, you know, in the high 300s from an on-base standpoint in the second half of the season. And it's just been really good at-bats no matter where we've had him in the order. And then you can't discount what he brings defensively. Like when he's in center field, now you got Judge and Gallo out there, turns into a really good outfield. And that's something that's obviously very important.
I think I can ask this without Craig getting offended, without him thinking I'm going to jinx anything. Gerrit Cole is going to start on Friday.
I knew this was coming.
His next start would be scheduled for Wednesday. And then I assume 3 days rest if you need it, right? Is that a fair assumption that if needed, Garrett Cole, 3 days rest, game 162, right?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I hadn't thought about that a little bit. We'll kind of cross that bridge when we get there. It could be a 3 days rest, or it could be if we're in a position where we have to win that game, we got to win the wild card game too. So you got to win two games anyway. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I know Garrett's on board with whatever we want to do, whichever way we want to go.
Right. And
hopefully we're in a position where that last game going into the wild card game doesn't mean anything.
Are you, because look, there's rain in the forecast tomorrow, which screws everything up. All right. It really does, especially in the case of Garrett Cole. Would you be comfortable pitching him on 3 days rest, even if it's not a game 162, just because, hey, I got to maximize Garrett Cole. There happened to be a rain out. I think the only time he's ever pitched on 3 days rest was last year during the playoffs, and he was great. He pitched into the sixth inning, only allowed one run. Would you be comfortable doing that prior to 162?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you're talking about, I don't know, that you mean pitching possibly back-to-back times to the end of the year?
Yes. So
you mean rain tomorrow?
Look, it's going to rain tomorrow. I hope they play because I want to see. I want to see good baseball. I don't want to see a seven-inning doubleheader. I don't want to see that garbage. And I'd love to see Garrett Cole pitch as much as possible. It's great baseball.
Yeah.
I know you've thought about it. I mean, obviously, it may not get rained out, but would you be comfortable with him pulling a CC back-to-back 3 days rest so you maximize your best pitcher?
Yeah, I don't know about that back-to-back 3 days rest. We'll just have to – but again, this it all comes down to, you know, what was the game prior? You know, in a lot of ways, what's the day after like? How does he feel from a recovery standpoint? And we'll try and make the best possible call for first and foremost for us, but also making sure that he's in a good spot to go out there and be, you know, close to his best.
Do you personally have a preference, by the way, if there was a rainout, to using an off day as opposed to a seven-inning doubleheader? Do you have a preference on what you or the team would rather see happen in that situation?
It's a good question. You mean if we got rained out?
Yeah.
I haven't even looked if there's, you know, do we both
Monday.
Have off days on that Monday?
Monday, yes.
Yeah. I think I'd probably prefer the Monday off day.
Interesting.
You know, with these games being at this point, but we've been doing this doubleheader thing and the seven inning doubleheader thing now for a couple of seasons, and you know, feel like we're pretty adept at it, and whatever baseball decides, we'll have to make the best of.
Last thing for me, Aaron, I don't want to read too much into it, but the way you won last night's game with the rally after the fifth and a couple big hits, you know, Gary and Glaber and all that stuff, was reminiscent of a lot of the games you won during the 13-game win streak. Was there any aspect of last night's game that made you kind of feel, I think we may have just clicked?
I was really pleased to see how well we played in the second half of that game, especially after it started. I just felt like it was a little sluggish. You know, I felt like Klubs. I felt like he actually threw the ball pretty well and was kind of, you know, a little bit unlucky to give up a few runs there where they, you know, kind of dumping some balls around on him. And it was just kind of that sucking the air out of it because we hadn't gotten anything going yet offensively. And they a bloop here that added to the lead. And then I just thought some really good at bats occurred, and Higgy stung another one after, you know, his first AB, that's probably a 3-run homer the night before, but the way the wind was blowing, it knocked that ball. It even knocked down Gary's ball a little bit. Gary killed that ball to center field and it barely got out. But, so Higgy getting a big double there to kind of injected a little bit of life. Okay. We're back in this now. And then I thought we just did some really good things from a bullpen standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, and from just some winning at bats there in some key spots.
With the playoffs essentially beginning tomorrow, with this nine-game stretch against Boston, Toronto, and Tampa, do you do anything different pregame? Like, is there an Aaron Boone, I'm going to rile the troops up, I'm going to pump them up?
You know what he's going to do? He's going to make them watch your stand-up tonight.
That'll work. Do you do anything differently tomorrow?
No. It's tomorrow's kind of business as usual. Look, we've had talks and conversations throughout this over the last couple months, whether it's in a hitter's meeting or, you know, as a group or whatever it is, you know, there's different times. So, you know, I always just kind of, you know, try to not have anything scripted. You know, it's like, we're going to go in tomorrow and prepare. And if things need to be said, so be it. But I don't plan on, you know, getting up and addressing the team, because even though I think it's a good analogy that these are essentially like playoff games now, in a lot of ways, I feel like we've been in that mode for the last couple of months, knowing that we had to kind of dig ourselves out of, and we've had that kind of energy and focus. So we got to, the real fun begins.
Well, listen,
now.
You got
9 games against good teams.
You got what every player and coach that we've ever talked to has ever asked for. Control your own destiny in the final 2 weeks and let it all play out the way it will. But you got that, and that's all you can ask for. So go make the most of it, and let's see some playoffs in a couple weeks. And we wish you the best of luck. Talk to you next week. I'll send you the video as soon as he's done tonight.
As I get ready, I'll be watching a little bit of stand-up comedy on as I'm going to bed tonight. I will add Evans to the list.
Wow.
A lot of pressure.
Immediate
now.
Reaction, please, pressure. So I can use it tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Be good, buddy. Safe travels as well.
All right,
thanks. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.